Abner Maris is a world champion boxer, Olympian, sports commentator, and most importantly, dad to two little girls. Beloved by abuelas, the hardcore fans alike, Abner is a pro at entertaining the world both in and out of the ring. On Blue Wire's new podcast, On the Hook with Abner Maris, we'll hear from Abner and his family, fellow athletes, and other people who made him the boxer and the man he is. They chat about topics like the state of boxing, Abner's journey from a kid on the streets to boxing champ, sports, music, culture, and family life, and just being a husband and a girl dad. Listen to On the Hook with Abner Maris whenever you get your podcasts. Episodes in English out on Tuesdays and episodes in Spanish out on Wednesdays.
Hi, this is Ruben Loftus-Cheek.
I'm Pat Nevin.
I'm Mason Mount. You're listening to the London is Blue podcast.
All right, Chelsea fans, welcome back to another episode of the London is Blue podcast. Can't mess up the intro. That's right. I'm your host, Brandon, joined by Nick and Dan. And if you don't get that, you should listen to the entire episode once in a while. You might enjoy it. Gentlemen, we are back, number four of the week. I know some people on Discord were like, oh, it's too much. It's like, well, look, if you can't listen to it all, you can't listen at all. Because then there's the other side who are like, can you do seven in a week? And we're like, no, we absolutely cannot. So here we are, number four of the week. It's going to be the Sheffield United match preview. I don't know, Dan. Are you going to make it through number four? It's been a long week. There's a lot's happened.
Here. I'm ready.
I hope you're more than just
I have my
here.
Caffeine. I'm good to go.
Oh, well, you didn't tell me you took your uppers.
I mean, look, I know Nick also is imbibing on the caffeine this week pretty hard. So, you know.
Quick, that's look, just the way it is. Someone else is worse.
I'm mostly made of caffeine at this point. So, I'm no Steve Kornacki, though. That guy. Incredible.
Hero.
All right. Well, this episode, no guest, just us per usual. It's tough to get a guest on a Thursday night.
At 9 o'clock central.
Yeah. It limits our options, but that's all right. I think we're going to have a good one. Obviously, we're going to be touching on Sheffield's shocking run of form, or maybe not shocking, depending if you take the pre-COVID or post-COVID Sheffield of last season. We're going to talk about what challenges Lampard faces with the lineup. I've been talking about this for a little bit, so we'll continue to ring that alarm bell. And then we'll talk about the predictions on starting 11, score lines, and we'll do our three reasons why Chelsea might win and three reasons why we might drop points. So starting off with taking a quick look at Sheffield United. No relation to Gabriel in our Discord, if you know him. But so far they played 7-1. How many? Nil. Did not see that coming. Six losses. They've gotten three goals, conceded 10, no clean sheets. Dan, this is a Sheffield that I'm not familiar with, especially after their emphatic start to their Premier League campaign after getting promoted the year before in the Championship. Chris Wilder's side is, they've played some good teams, but they've also played some bad teams and still refuse to get a result.
Well, I mean, if we think about some of the teams that they've played so far this season, they started off the season with Wolves, a top six team at the end of last season. They played Aston Villa, a 1-0
world beaters.
Aston Villa. Well, they played Aston Villa. Aston Villa wins a narrow game. Leeds plays them and gets, a pretty good result, a 1-0 victory. Arsenal beat them 2-1. They draw with Fulham, which is probably the worst result on this fixture list. They lose to Liverpool 2-1, but they actually, I think, played a pretty strong game. And, you know, if not for a little, you know, give me from the officials, probably ends up a draw. And then they really, outside of Kyle Walker kind of pulling off a pretty impressive shot, really limited City in that match. And so I do think the results in general that we've seen from Sheffield United are what you might expect from a team that lost what I would argue was their best player last season in Dean Henderson, who went back to Manchester United. They've had to replace him with Aaron Ramsdale. And a team that, you know, is really, you know, still trying to figure out who they are, Nick, you know, after some of these changes and after really an interesting start to the season for them.
Yeah, I mean, this is their results do not necessarily show the kind of team they are. I mean, some of these results are way better and just didn't kind of break their way. I mean, if you watched any of the City game last week, which was the early game, you'd know that they pretty well controlled City in and around the box. There was not a whole lot doing there, and that's why Kyle Walker from outside the box had to put one inch perfect past Ramsdale. I mean, this one I'm far less confident in, I will say, than Burnley, which is an objectively terrible team that we just beat up on last weekend. This one's going to be a harder fought match, I think. And look, I mean, Chelsea's on a really good run. I'm not saying, you know, we're going to lose to them or anything, but like comparing this to Burnley or comparing it to some of these other teams that we played, Sheffield United are a much better team than those teams overall. Their record doesn't show it.
Okay, well, statistically speaking, you know, they've got 0.43 goals per match. We're at 2.29. So I think that is like just a good example that we are knocking them in. They aren't. To your point, their worst loss is by two goals. Everything's tight, right? It's one way or the other. So they haven't really been blown out. They're in every match. We're creating a lot of chances, right? 85 shots. They're sitting at 8.59, right? So we know we're going to get chances against the Sheffield team. They're giving up chances. We just have to make sure we stay clinical. And a big part of that is who's in our team, which we'll get into in a little bit. So, but the fact that they have yet to keep a clean sheet is a good sign for Chelsea. Mm-hmm. 10 conceded in 7 matches is obviously not great.
Brandon, there's another interesting stat in there when you look at just the lay of the land. So Sheffield have scored 3 goals in the Premier League this season. So one against Liverpool, one against Fulham, and one against Arsenal. 2 of those were penalties. They have scored 1 goal
from open play. They've hit the woodwork.
That is a massive concern when you think about the fact that they've only been able to put 18 shots on target, 59 shots overall across their first run of matches. You know, while they have been good-ish defensively from not conceding a ton or conceding in very narrow chances, they're doing nothing up front at the moment, which is going to be the real area where we actually have done a really good job at restricting high-quality shots and have carried that over. And now that we've had improved defenders and improved goalkeeping, it's going to be really – that's where I think, Nick, I see the biggest challenge for Sheffield in this match is that they have no – you know, even after signing Brewster from Liverpool, you know, they've got a couple of players that could score a goal. Lundstrom is in this weird situation where he's not playing a ton because they want to extend his contract, but he's not necessarily looking to do that. So he hasn't been starting in matches. Like, all of this is pointing to a really back – you know, defending 10 behind the ball, and we're gonna have to like try to find a way to force something through.
But real quick, because this is why stats are fun, they have created 7 big chances. We've only created 6. So to that point as well, they can't just convert. That's the thing. They are creating some chances. They just do not have the quality to finish as well, Nick. So again, stats are ridiculous.
I would agree with Dan's sentiment. I mean, they've always kind of led with defense, right? I mean, that shouldn't be a shock if you watched them play last year. This was not a free-flowing style of football, but it was an effective style of football. Clearly, they whooped our ass 3-0 after the break, and it wasn't really even that close, if we're honest. That was a really disappointing day for Frank Lampard. So I think there is probably some justified concern about this one, because they are, you know, they're one of those teams that has such a set formation. They play essentially a 3-back wing backs, and it's not like a 3-4-3 in the way that we used to play under Conte. It's kind of like a 3-5, you know, like 2-1, where they have really tight really tight, like tens, I guess, but they're really not even that creative. It is meant to stifle you and not to create a whole lot. And so, I think there are opportunities to exploit that system, but we're just gonna have to be smart about how we do it. And you know, I think one of the things is we talk about, you know, potentially how we transition to this is going to be you know, we've been on a crazy run of matches now for, you know, since the last international break. We've basically played every 3 days. So there's going to be a lot of tired legs in our team. We're going to have to be really smart about who we play.
All right. Well, I think we pretty much touched on a lot of the stuff when it comes to Sheffield's Way. Obviously, it's not really our forte. They do have an injury update posted on Thursday. It said from Chris Wilder, quote, "We're okay in terms of health, just the usual bumps and bruises. Really good to see John Fleck and Lise Mousset back on the grass this week. It's a boost for everybody to have those two nearing return," end quote. So they're only getting stronger. Jack O'Connell, though, potentially the best defender out for a lot of the season. And Ethan Ampadu is ineligible to play because of the loan agreement.
I misspoke on the formation, by the way. Sorry, before we move on.
It's back five, right?
Yeah, it's more like a five back with a three in the midfield and like an offset striker pairing. So I got confused. That's my fault.
Yeah, they do a lot of the overlapping backs. So, I think that they have had they did buy some reinforcements in that area. So, you know, most likely you're going to see is on the left. Like, it's going to be a big day out for Ben Chilwell. It's going to be a big day out for Reece James. And Reece James got played pretty much off the pitch last time he played by Sheffield. I mean, the whole team did, not Reece independently. But I think that's where, with what we've seen to start this season, we definitely upgraded in areas that we got exposed in last match against them.
Yeah, look, they like to overload a side, to your point, with those overlaps, like to create imbalances, like to switch the play of attack, and they hit early crosses in. We saw that a lot last season. They hit some deep angled crosses, but it goes in, you know, well into the box. It's kind of funny if you look at who scored and kind of their strengths and weaknesses, right? They're weak. They're very weak at defending counterattacks. Good to know. They're very weak at finishing their scoring chances. Good to know. They're terrible at defending set pieces. They're terrible at defending against skillful players. They're terrible at defending against attacks on the wings. And they're not very good at possessing the ball. So it sounds like a pretty good ingredient list for Chelsea when you're looking to exploit a team like this. And if they're just not clicking, you know what? And it's kind of been an interesting season, right? Because normally you're like, oh, they're due, right? Sheffield haven't won in the season yet. They're due. Not right now. The way this season's been going, the teams are struggling, just are struggling. They cannot get out of fifth gear. They are still at the starting line. They have not started their engines and taken off yet. And so I'm only hoping, you know, that they need...
Fifth gear is a pretty high gear, by the way.
Low RPMs, first, right? So you start in first. They haven't gotten out of first. For those of you that drive manual, punch the clutch. And so I'm just wondering if they're, you know, going to need another international break to kind of get it together or what. But that just seems to be the theme. You know, I say that and I'll probably get, you know, smacked in the mouth by Sheffield and they'll come at us. But it's just the way things have gone right now. It's like when it's going bad, it's only going worse for teams. And they don't really seem like they have a threat to counter us.
It feels like a bit of a sophomore slump for them right now, just to be honest. I mean, they had their system last year carried them and their effort carried them. They are a hard team to play against. You remember that we were up 2-0 in the 83rd minute at Stamford Bridge and they clawed it back 2-2, right? This is one of those teams that you really don't enjoy playing. It's just that, to your point, Brandon, they have not done a good job of converting the chances that they've created for themselves. And thus, if you play a defensive system and you're not clinical on the other side, it's tough to win matches. And I think that's where they're at.
All right. Well, again, we're no Sheffield experts, but we're just kind of giving some context ahead of the game on the Sheffield side as we flip it over to the Chelsea side. But real quick, before we do that, we are going to take a very short ad break. Thank you to these financial sponsors for supporting the show. And when we get back, it'll be all about Chelsea, recent form, predictions, how we can win, how we can lose. Be right back.
Even though sports had a break, your business didn't. You have to keep moving, and that makes hiring more important than ever. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people fast. Unlike other job sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need, and you can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier, like sponsored jobs, which are shown to be 3.5 times more likely to result in a hire. With 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month, Indeed is going to get you the most important hire you need, just like they have for over 3 million businesses. It's a lot. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Offer valid through December 31st.
2020 has been hard enough. And you know what? Worrying about your routine for taking care of business below the belt shouldn't have to be one of those things you're concerned about. Thankfully, our friends at Manscaped are making your life simple, and they're going to allow you to turn your bathroom with a snap into your very own private, this is the exact copy from the text, dong salon. You know, they're concerned about your bangers and mash. They don't want it to look like a mess. You know, they don't want it to be the worst. Get it? Bangers and mash and worst. Anyway, they just released their products in the UK, Canada, and Australia. The Lawnmower 3.0 trimmer offers a replaceable ceramic blade with the advanced skin-safe technology that helps reduce grooming accidents. That's a plus. Waterproof technology allows you to groom in the shower and for up to 90 minutes, hopefully not all in one sitting. And they also released their Shears 2.0 nail kit, which is the perfect add-on for their Lawnmower 3.0 trimmer. Their perfect package, pun intended, comes with two free gifts and other liquid formulations to help complete your ball trimming routine. These formulations are all vegan, cruelty-free, dye-free, sulfate-free, and paraffin-free, if you know what all those are, to keep your, yes, this is in the text too, disco stick in good hands. Look, you're probably thinking about it, you know, you want to keep yourself smelling fresh. You've got the crop preserver for keeping the odor to a minimum downstairs. They've got a crop reviver toner that is spray-on for the jewels. And then they've also got a foot duster deodorant. So good, you can even reduce the odor of the dirtiest feet. All these things sound great. And you know what? They got a code for our listeners. London is blue. It's 20% off, free shipping at manscaped.com. And so, you know, if you want to protect the package and not have it be the worst, go hit it up now. Manscaped.com, use the code LONDONISBLUE for 20% off plus free shipping.
Okay, flipping the script over to Chelsea. I think we're all pretty familiar with the results as of right now. Obviously, most recently, thumping Ren thanks to VAR very largely. The clean sheet run of five is still alive. The win streak of three is still alive. And here we are in front of Sheffield United. So the big updates on the Chelsea side of the Pulisic is back in training. Obviously, Havertz is still out. No real surprise, I think, with that. They said Pulisic's hammy was very minor, and him training is a good sign that it is. So anything, I guess, you guys have to add? I mean, it's been 24 hours since we last talked about Chelsea. I don't, you know, these guys just need to rest, really, heading into this one. Do a lot of film, do some regeneration sessions. You know, the guys that haven't been playing a lot of minutes, keep them sharp, keep them fit. Maybe a little bit of squad rotation.
I think the rotation piece is now, yeah, we're getting into some crazy territory. I mean, after this next international break, you basically enter an advanced festive period, Dan, because of not only the matches being condensed anyway, but I mean, it's going to be, you know, mid-November before Chelsea are back in the Premier League. And then if it's mid-November and we know that the crazy season typically starts like mid-December, you don't really have any respite there. So, you know, getting some rotation in for the big matches is going to be key. And I think this match this weekend could be an opportunity to do that.
Well, and the one thing that did happen between the last recording is now England announced their squad list for the upcoming fixtures. So Reece James makes it in there. Ben Chilwell makes it in there. Mason Mount makes it in there. Tammy Abraham makes it in there. A lot of opportunity potentially. You know, actually, I think might be really great for Tammy to get some minutes during the international break. Please protect Ben Chilwell at all costs. Please protect Reece James can't play two out of the three matches because of his sending off. But there were some amazing quotes from Southgate talking about just the way he trained, the way he participated, the fact that he's kind of learning from that as a professional. Very clearly highly rated by the England side. And what Southgate said was fantastic. So, like, that's another thing we have to think about, too, is that a couple of these players are going to go on break. Some will play, some will not play. You're also going to have a couple come back who, you know, maybe like Havertz, you don't know what maybe necessarily the long-term effects are going to be, but he will have not played from basically now in, you know, our last match until potentially the next match we play in the Premier League.
That, I mean, two points about this. First is Southgate called up Reece James, even though he can't play two of the three matches. Like, that's
he's one of four left backs.
That is,
or right backs.
That is wild. Okay, like that's just, it's a massive show of respect, but it's also kind of dumb. Like, because I think this whole exercise we're going to go through with this stupid international break, while Britain's in lockdown, by the way, and a bunch of other European countries are too, in the middle of a pandemic that's killing hundreds of thousands of people across the world, playing these stupid arbitrary matches makes no sense whatsoever, and they should be canceled. Rant over.
You know, agree. We can barely get through the Premier League, and now we're going to continue to, you know, open up these team camps and let them be exposed to a whole new pool of people and even travel with them. So I agreed. So as we talk about the predicted 11s starting lineups going into this one, you know, that to your point, there is an international break after this. Chelsea don't play again until November 21st. Would be nice to give these boys a full 10 days rest, you know, something maybe even longer. But when you have this many internationals in your team, like most top teams do, it's something you have to balance. So let's go ahead and run through some likely 11s in this match. I think that we'll kind of see where everyone stands when it comes to rotation or lack thereof. So Dan, I'll let you kick this one off, sir.
So I'm going to go with the Frank Lampard copy-paste special because we found something that works at the moment. I'm going to take exactly the way that we lined up midweek against Rennes. So Mendy, James, Silva, Zuma, Chilwell, Jorginho, Conte, Mount, with Havertz not being available, Werner, Abraham, and Ziyech. That's it. It's not broke. Yes, it'll be our last game for a significant period of time. Some of those players will not be going on international duty. So let's roll with it. Let's roll with it and let's end this run unbeaten across 11 matches.
So is that your predicted lineup as far as like purely what you think Lampard is going to do?
Well, yeah, because I think the 4-3-3 is working well for us. I know that there is a little bit of a, you know, with Jorginho in there versus Havertz and Conte playing forward versus, you know, with Jorginho kind of playing as that base, definitely not as strong. I mean, that's where you kind of see the fact that like Billy Gilmore is going to potentially be back after break. You're like, ooh, that's exciting. That is where I think there's maybe some opportunity to potentially be exposed in this match, particularly with the physicality of some of the midfield players in the Sheffield side, which we'll talk about shortly. But
Thiago Silva, 3 90s in a row. Well, he didn't play 90 minutes, but you think three matches in a row?
Yeah, I mean, I think he'll get this one. Yes.
Okay. All right, Nick.
I think Dan is right. I'm going to throw a wild card in there because
back five.
Yeah, I'm hearkening back to when we played them in that terrible 3-0 match, and I think we looked better when we matched up their formation. So I'm going to hit Mendy, Reece James, right wing back, Aspi, Silva, Zuma, center backs, Chile B left, obviously, and then N'Golo Kante and Kovacic in the middle of the park. I think you need a little bit more mobility there than Jorginho offers in a 3-4-3, and then Mason Mount, Olivier Giroud, wild card pick, which I don't think will happen, but I want to see it, and Hakim Ziyech up front, because this formation works for Giroud. The reason I put him in there is like I think he's the one that can link the midfield to the attack, and I want to see that very badly. So.
I mean, I guess, you know, we definitely upped Tammy in the last match, though, in the review of about Rennes. Like, are you thinking that he can't do it as well as Giroud right now? Or, like, what's your...
Just minutes. I mean, he played the last two. Like,
okay.
Lampard's going to have to rotate at some point, even if he's playing the hot hand. I didn't put Werner in there because Werner looked gassed And I think if we keep running him into the ground, that's not going to be good moving forward. So, yeah, my best guess is we start to see rotation where we have flexibility and availability. And I don't think my lineup's right, but it's one way he could go about it.
Sure.
So I'm thinking there's going to be a little bit of rotation, especially because we have to. You know, I agree. Like, why should we not see Aspi, you know, right now at this moment? You know, he's fresh. He's ready to go. He can help in a lineup. So I've got him at right back. I've got Zuma because he just seems to be the one that is always in. I'm going with Tomori, right? I'm wearing my new Tomori kit.
Yeah, buddy.
Love as I turn around.
If you're only listening to the audio version.
As I turn around in my chair.
In the chair. Yep. Yeah, there you go.
So rocking the Tomori kit, I need to speak it into existence. He can't be fourth string. Rudiger is playing in front of him right now. I don't get it, and I don't like it. Chili B on the left, N'Golo Kante, Mount, Kova in the middle, Ziyech, Tammy, and Timo Werner up top. I think he's going to run that attack all the way until he can't, and this is kind of it. So I think Kovacic will come in for Jorginho. Mount and Kante will do the role, and that's it. So we'll see. We're getting like weird injuries at weird times, obviously not having Pulisic. Callum doesn't seem to be anywhere near the lineup. I'd like it, you know, if potentially Callum was able to come in and give Timo a rest, but he didn't even come in till late in the Ren match. So, you know, Ziyech is coming off an injury. Timo seems fine. To be fair, though, I'm saying he needs a rest. He looks sharp. He looks after. He looks hungry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think he's not fit. I get really, really worried about Lampard running these guys into the ground like
exactly
some players last year. And so, like, me, much like you are speaking Tomori into existence, me speaking the lack of soft muscle tissue injuries into existence this year is what I am trying to overcome in advance. And that's part of the reason why I'm swapping some of these players. And, like, ideally in my lineup, if Cho was favored, I would have put him in over Ziyech. I just don't think that's even less realistic than maybe Giroud getting a sniff right now. It's just kind of crazy. So,
well, again, we want to hear what you have to say on the lineup predictions. There's kind of one option: if you just play your best 11, maybe you rotate a little bit, you just run it until the international break and hope for the best and hope they don't pick up injuries in the international break. So, but yeah, flipping over to a player that maybe from the Burnley squad that Chelsea needed to make sure that we're paying attention to.
Sheffield United.
Sheffield, freaking Dan and his landmines in the freaking script. I had to change turf more yesterday.
Damn it.
Too.
Damn it! Who put a question mark on the teleprompter? You know he reads.
No,
everything.
I will read it. Dumb. Damn it, Dan. Anyways, a Sheffield player that we should be most afraid of. Dan, you're muted. So Nick, who are you most afraid of, and how afraid are you really of them?
I don't know. I mean, they're a good team.
And out of 10, how afraid of you are that player?
Okay.
Is there a ranking system now?
Yeah. Wow, we're adding a new wrinkle because Brandon wants to put me on the spot. All right. I have Rion Brewster as my player that I would be looking out for. Probably a 5 out of 10 is what I'm afraid of. You know, just I'll be sane about that. It's not that we're not playing prime Leo Messi here, but like Brewster is quick and he's pretty physical for his size. He's not a huge guy, but he's pretty physical. And depending on how we play defensively, he could give the left side or the right side of our defensive lineup. He's usually on the left side a little bit of trouble. So just 5 out of 10, Rion Brewster. He's our club record signing.
Right. Well, I wanted the scale because it's like it's no Jamie Vardy. That's my only point, right? Like he's maybe the most threatening player, but it's still a lukewarm threat. I've got David McGoldrick, obviously, for what he did against us at the end of last season. Sometimes players, for whatever reason, kind of have a day against the same team over and over. I saw it in college; it was unbelievable. And so I'm just wondering if he might be the one that. for whatever reason, turns up against Chelsea. And so, again, not super worried. It's just one of those things I'm paying attention to. So, anyways, well, since we've muted Dan, let's go ahead and move on. fine,
He's
Dan.
He's back.
I'm Dan. Back. Surprise.
Here's your opportunity.
I think it's, to me, it's in the midfield. I think Xander Berge is the one that I'm a little concerned about. He's a 6'5", 6'6", Norwegian. Definitely able to steal well in the midfield. And that's where the Jorginho in my lineup leaves me a little skeptical. I think Mount and Conte together will be able to handle that. I don't know if Berge is moving full speed, if Jorginho in a last-ditch tackle is going to do much to prevent him from advancing forward. So that would be the one. I'll give it a 6.5 out of 10.
Okay. So over to the three reasons why. We're going to start with the positives, why we think Chelsea will win. And I'm going to keep it simple. It's because we're better. Don't need to overcomplicate this.
Wow.
If we got there,
analysis.
If we got there and play 7 out of 10, like, we should be fine. I'm just saying that. Like, if you want to know why I think Chelsea will win, it's because we are just blatantly a better team. Now, there's a lot of things that go beyond that, but if I'm just going to stay big picture, come on, lads, it's Sheffield. So, Dan, over to you.
No, none of that will haunt Brandon if we don't win. No one will bring up the.
I don't think anyone's going to argue that. I don't think anyone's going to argue that Chelsea's not better than Sheffield. Now, if we don't turn up on the day, that's another thing. But
sure, I think it is the attack force that we have. When you think about Timo, Tammy, and Ziyech up front, are a potent attacking trio. They looked really good against Rennes, one of the best sides in Ligue 1. Who are doing much better on their season than Sheffield is doing. And I think we're finding ways to break down stubborn teams. So I am more confident against this type of team now than I would have been last season.
Okay. Nick?
I mean, I think if we get an early goal, it's going to be a really good thing because it will mean them playing catch up and likely having to get out of their defensive shape a little bit more frequently. And, you know, I think once you kind of start to open that can a little bit, you know, that becomes a little bit easier once they kind of come out of their shell. So I'm looking for an early goal, hopefully within the first 20 minutes, and then, you know, kind of cruise control from there.
That was one of the talking points we had last season, that Chelsea seemed to be so sluggish out the gate. Do you think that that's something that we've changed this season? We seem to be a lot sharper, a lot earlier in matches.
I think it's still too early to say, to be honest. I mean, of course, getting a 9th-minute penalty against Rennes helps your cause. But yeah, I think it's still too early to say on that.
Okay. All right. Obviously, if we can get an early goal, make them come out of their shell right away, to your point, that would be massive from a tactical standpoint. Okay, so on the flip side, reasons why Chelsea might drop points with a loss or a draw. Again, I'm going to go with fatigued. I don't know how much will rotate. Maybe that backfires because we over-rotated. Maybe we under-rotated. You know, if Zuma, like we all have, you know, plays his essentially 6th game in a row, what's he going to be like? So, again, I see the potential for, you know, tired legs. It's, again, we're playing midweek while this team rests. Midweek, thankfully, yep. We're at home, I believe, so less travel, which is helpful. So, anyways, fatigue is for me. Nick, running up to you though.
I think if we lose the midfield conclusively again, which is what we did in the 3-0 loss, I think that's a bad sign. Now, we haven't lost the midfield very much this year, and in fact, you know, there have been times where we dominated the midfield, but. You know, that if we do end up playing a 3-4-3 like I projected, and I do not think that will realistically happen, but if we do, it does leave us a little bit vulnerable there since they have 3 in midfield. And so we're just going to be really careful about how stretched we get on that front. But I think that's where we might lose it. I mean, to Dan's player he's most afraid of, like Xander Berge is in that midfield and is steel in that midfield. Joe Tweeds talked about Xander Berge as a Chelsea target like 2 years ago because he's that far ahead of the curve most of the time. So I think we've all, I think since Joe mentioned it, you know, we've all kind of looked at him as like, oh, take a peek at Sander Berge. He's very good. So let's just, let's win the midfield.
Well, obviously I think, you know, there's a lot of different intricacies go into it and there's a lot of different layers, but for the most part, you just focus on the macros, right? Keep your defensive shape, you know, transition as a unit. Thankfully, Chelsea's backroom staff have a lot of film on Sheffield. It shouldn't really be much of a surprise at this point. You know, their summer signings weren't great. Obviously, we would like to think that Ethan Ampadu is one of the better ones, but for whatever reason, maybe Nick, you have a good call on that, calling a sophomore slump. It has not clicked whatsoever for them. But they haven't been blown out. They've pretty much been in every single match, including Man City, Arsenal, even Liverpool. So they are stubborn, all right? They don't go away easy. They just can't seem to finish. And if – I'm not even going to say it. So score prediction time. This is where we really make our cheddar. This is where we get sponsored by a gambling app and make some wild predictions that make people filthy rich. So
false.
All right, Dan, how do we get rich here?
To me.
So I'm going to go with the Clean Sheet FC continuing our run. I think that we are the team that is in better form. I think that we are in better form than the sides that played them and were able to win when they played them. So like we were better form than City, I would say. In that match, I think that we were better formed than Liverpool in the match that they played against them. So I'm going to go with Chelsea 2, Sheffield 0.
Okay. Well, we'll see how that pays off. Nick, no mo clean sheets.
Sacrificial lamb. I've been this way for a while. I'm happy to do it. Look, guys. To me.
Guys, look.
I would rather play the role of sacrificial lamb so that we continue this clean sheet run and just be the hero, not that we deserve, but the one that we needed right now, you know? And I think that is where I'm at. 3-1, my prediction, and may the clean sheets continue based off of this wrong prediction.
Are you trying to basically be like the team that tanks because you know there's something good at the end of it? Is that what you're really doing here?
No,
you realize there's no draft pick for you.
I'm not tanking. I'm still predicting a heavy win. It's just I'm predicting a goal against us so that the clean sheet run continues. Clearly, my predictions have been terrible this year, and thus now I've just accepted it. I've accepted it into my heart that I'm not going to get any right. So instead, I'm going to put all the bad juju on myself so that the team doesn't have it on them.
You should let Frank know.
All right.
I should get a medal.
I'm going to go 3-0. It's done me well. The kit sponsor seems to be getting a lot of their money out of this deal. So until it really trips me up, I'm going to stick with it for a while. So 3-0. Seems to be working, so I don't know. We'll have to figure it out. All right, but like we said, last match for the international break, Sheffield United in 19th place, winless. You know, we caught through caution out there with Burnley, did the business. You know, maybe this is a Chelsea team that are putting teams to the sword and making them pay for being bad versus last season when we kind of met them at their badness and drop points significantly. So hopefully it's a different spin. So it'll be good. Saturday, right? 10 a.m. Central is what we figured out. 11, 8 a.m. Western, Pacific. What do you call it out there?
We've caught up with them on daylight savings, right? So 11:30 yes. a.m. Saturday.
There we go.
9:30 a.m. Pacific.
Dan gets to sleep in, baby.
I know.
And day drink.
Yeah.
Oh. It'll be good.
All right. Well, thanks so much for joining us, Chelsea fans. It's been great. Get involved. Let us know your lineups. We'll get them posted on social media so you can engage with us there. Obviously, the match day Discord will be hopping, so make sure to get in before that if you want to get involved. Nick and Dan, gentlemen, thank you so much. Number four of the week. It's been a heck of a week for many reasons, but feels good to finally have a Friday tomorrow, which means the Chelsea play on Saturday. So. Yeah, I think that's going to wrap us up. You guys feel good? Anything else you want to throw out there?
I'm just waiting to see if you get the outro right.
I mean, how long are you guys going to do this?
I'm going to, well, until you get it right. I will quickly plug our 500th episode contest that we're running since we didn't do our typical intro today. Send us a tweet, send us an email, send us a DM with your favorite memory, catchphrase, moment, whatever. And you will be entered in to win one of five Nike Vapor kits, like the one that Brandon is wearing right now. Look at that thing.
I didn't get the Vapor. I went economical. But it'll still be really nice, I promise. It'll be good.
The Vapors are nice, and we will give you the choice of whatever, home, away, or third. I recommend the third, frankly, because I have it. and whatever player you want of your choice. So send us an email, tweet, whatever, video, voice message. Do that LIBP 500 hashtag. If you can use it, that would be super
awesome. Yep, we'll appreciate it. Anyways, that's gonna wrap us up, Chelsea fans. So next time, you know what to do. Keep the blue flag flying high.
You messed it up, dude.
I almost had it.
So you until said, next time, Chelsea fans, you know what to do.
Until. You said oh so my next God.
Get
time.
Get out of here. I don't have time for this bullshit.
Listen back to the tape.
Awesome. Yep. We'll appreciate it. Anyways, that's going to wrap us up, Chelsea fans. So next dance. So next dance. So next dance. So next dance. So next dance.